The new KNZR stickers are here. Get one and stick it. It could make you a winner. The Terry Maxwell Show. He's here to remind you it isn't a spectator sport anymore. You must get into the game.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. We are here and the 4 o'clock hour. We have our good friend and cohort, Dr. Jen Mensink, ready to talk about anemia.
Yes, we started Monday.
It's a fairly encompassing
7%,
subject.
Terry, I mean, 7% of all people will have anemia. All right, when more women more than men. We're going to talk a little. Talk about anemia. Yes, we're going to talk about.
Yeah,
but it's 7% is pretty high.
Well, that's a huge number of people. I mean, just in the population for the United States of America, that'd be 21 million people.
Yeah, no, this is common. All right, and probably the thing why I wanted to talk about it. Much of this stuff, just whether we like it or not, Terry, it's misdiagnosed or late diagnosed or not treated appropriately. All right.
Okay.
And that's why we're spending this time going on what are the issues? I go over it again. When you come in with anemia, what does it go through the doctor's mind?
Right? Sure.
That's really
sure.
what we're talking
and,
about.
And,
right?
and we covered a lot of that. But, you know, when I'm at home and I'm thinking, I've got these symptoms and I'm not sure what it might be. What are the symptoms of anemia?
Probably, Terry, the most common is weakness. Weakness and tired. And we call it malaise and fatigue. All right. But it's some big words for just saying, I don't feel like doing anything. All right.
Right.
Was that a double negative? No, but I don't, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I came across wrong. But anyhow, we just don't, no energy. Just don't feel like doing anything. They can get dizzy, especially getting up quickly and and moving around. All right, there's a lot of other things that can cause that, but that's one of the things that will happen. If you look at them, their skin is pale, and this is a little bit. If you pull their eyelids down and look inside the eyelid, it'll be paler. It won't be nice juicy red. That's wrong.
Cherry red.
Cherry red. It won't be a nice red. It'll be kind of pale. All right?
Okay.
And that's a good indication that you're anemic.
Because of vascularization, showing good redness because...
There's not enough blood there.
Right.
Not enough hemoglobin. All right? Not so anyone can do that. Another thing that happens with these people, they get headaches. That's quite common, and we as the population, the people out there, don't equate headaches with anemia. And there's a lot of other things can cause headaches.
So that's pretty common?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
The feet can feel numb and cold, all right? And, there's other things that have to be gone through. We've talked about Raynaud's disease and all these other things. But people typically who are anemic, they're what we call peripherally shut down. That's big words to it, that it means they're... Distal vessels are sort of in constriction.
You don't have enough blood cells running around, so the body kind of knows that and says, we need to keep them closer to the heart.
Yeah, essentially.
To the essential organs.
Essential organs are more important than your limbs and extremities.
Right,
all right?
Right.
And so if your anemia gets bad, they get peripherally shut down. Now, it depends, Terry, just short and simple, how fast it occurs. All right?
Okay.
And this is hard for people to doctors know this, but it depends how fast it occurred. You can have a mild anemia that occurs suddenly, all right, and it'll have tremendous symptoms. You can have an anemia that is very slow over months or years and has no symptoms. And I'll give you good examples of this. I've seen people, Terry, that have hardly any symptoms. They have symptoms, don't get me wrong, but they're really not bothered because it's happened so slow over
years.
They didn't
notice it. They didn't notice it.
And I've had a normal hemoglobin is 15, all right? 12 to 15. I have had people walk in with a hemoglobin of 3.5. I mean, this is, 80%
and
of the
blood.
And they didn't know anything. I mean, they're tired, don't get me wrong.
Thought it was old age creeping up on them.
Exactly.
Sure.
So it depends how quick that happens. Now, if you lost that much blood, if you lost 75% of your blood volume within a day or a week or a month, I mean, you'd be dead.
Yeah. Well, you'd,
but if you lost that much over years, you may not even know it. These yeah. people compensate very, very well. Now, there's a lot of other
and they
issues.
Walk around with very cold extremities.
Yes,
and
walk around with cold extremities. There's a whole bunch of things will happen all
sure.
right, with these patients. But it is key how quick it happens to how should I say, how...
what the etiology might be?
Well, yes and no. That is partially true, but how they function with it.
Okay.
Do you follow what I'm saying?
Sure.
People with anemias often have low body temperatures. All right. And mm-hmm. why you mentioned earlier, they're peripherally shut down. They're trying to shut the blood to the center of their body, the core, to keep the core up. So they'll often be cold and their temperatures will be lower than normal.
Right.
All right.
Right.
They can be short of breath when they try to exert themselves. All right. They'll be, you know, they can walk around and do everything, but they try to exert themselves and they get winded away.
They're not going to be out there playing tennis or anything like that.
No.
Usually they're pretty sedate.
These people were given that up ages ago.
Right.
Right? They were not a chance.
Physical activity is almost eliminated.
Yeah. Well, here's what happens, Terry. These patients who are anemic, it happens most of the time, it happens so slowly. Rapid blood loss is not that common. And those rapid blood loss is not...
It's like if you had a major GI bleed,
sure.
then it'd happen overnight.
Yeah, you crash and burn quickly. All these people go to the ER right away. They're diagnosed. They're treated. That's not what bothers doctors, all right?
Right.
I mean, don't get me wrong. These people are very sick, all right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But that's not where we lose people. We lose people because it happened so slow, they didn't know it was happening.
And is that the 7% we're talking about? Is that
most
it's happening
these,
slowly?
Most of these are 7%ers.
Yeah.
All right. Less. Yeah. I don't know, but I would guess less than 0.5% are really acute. In fact, probably way less.
But, yeah.
I don't know those numbers.
Otherwise, they'd be filling all the emergency rooms.
I didn't look that up, but I should have, Terry.
I'm just asking you for your clinical opinion.
Most of these are rare. All right. Yeah. The vast majority of anemic people have no acute symptoms. All right. And it's acute symptoms are not, those we don't miss, Terry. By and large, they're diagnosed, they're treated. That's not the issue. It's these chronic anemias that you don't know and the patient they don't talk to it, all right?
Right.
So these people would get shorter, we call it shortness of breath on exertion, but what it means is they've been walking around doing everything and they're getting by, they're tired, fatigued, but they try to do anything and they're totally wiped out. That's a good way to say it. Another thing that happens with people with symptomatology for anemias, there's an increased risk of what we call arrhythmias of a heart and chest pain. All right?
Mm-hmm.
So these people can come in with chest pain and angina. All right? And they're really anemic. Now, these patients with chest pain, most of them end up going to the emergency room. All right?
Because at some point it gets to they think they're having a heart attack.
They get a cardiac rule out and they're diagnosed. They're not, those ones, it's not too bad. The arrhythmia patients, those that have cardiac arrhythmias, they may have SVT or go into intermittent AFib. In fact, I saw a gentleman this morning, all right, mm-hmm. the new patient that comes in and make a long story short, years ago, he ended up with a stroke, an embolic stroke. And he probably had an arrhythmia due to some energy drinks and things like that he was doing, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And probably had an arrhythmia, and that caused a little clot to fly off and to give him a stroke, all right? But the people with these arrhythmias, in fact, I had Monday, I had a patient come in. He's a fairly new patient, and he has... issues, all right, and he has an EKG that was, oh my gosh, kind of, you know, this is terrible kind of thing, and he probably has atrial fibrillation, high risk, and I look at, to me, it's good news, no doctor's told him this so far,
and
in fact, 6 months ago, he had a cardiac clearance, so it wasn't there then. He's got new onset in the last 6 months of atrial fibrillation. I look at this, Terry, I mean, it's terrible news, all right? But from this patient's point of view, I look at it as good news. This is fantastic. We know it. You haven't gotten in trouble yet. You haven't had your stroke yet. It's time to get, there's things we have to do, all right? And our cardiac workup, and you need your Holter, you need your stress echo, all these things. We're going to get you on anticoagulants.
Finding something like that before the incident is so important.
Terry, I look at it as good news.
Yeah.
All right, just short and simple. I tell my patients, this is good news.
They're headed down that road already.
And we know
and now
ahead of time.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
It's the same philosophy. We do use a lot of what's called CT coronary artery calcium scoring for our patients. All right? And essentially, it's a little CT scan. It's usually about $1,700. The insurances don't want to pay for it, which is kind of sad. We've negotiated for our patients. I think our rate is, it's $100, if I remember right, for our cash patients. But make a long story short, we use a lot of it. Because it gives us a percentile risk issue of whether the coronary arteries are blocked.
Right.
And I saw a gentleman last week, and he's a fairly new patient, and he's got a bunch of risk factors, and he's been followed by, good doctors, in town. Yeah. But he decided to join the practice, and we did this, and he's got big, bad, or significant risk of blockages.
Mm-hmm.
I look at it as good news. I told him, this is good news. It's not good news. Get me wrong. It's bad. And he's got an LAD, which is left anterior descending. That's what the one that doctors call the widowmaker that kills you fast.
Right.
That's probably blocked. But I look at it as fantastic news. We know ahead of time, before there's issues, let's deal with it.
Right.
You follow what I'm saying?
Well, there's medical treatment for it now. There's either
versus coming with
procedural
a heart attack
treatment
or something bad. All right?
Right. Exactly.
Okay. The next thing is that there's a whole group of preschool children that are at risk for anemia, all right?
Really?
Yes. Now, bottom line, this is well known, all right? Now, in fact, before you go to school, we check your hemoglobin. The standard, all right? There's a very good reasons why, all right? And here's the most important thing. Children typically at that age group, up until age 5 and 6, have very low iron diets, all right?
Yeah.
Okay. And so they have, they're not into eating meat and liver and all these other things or high iron foods. And so they typically have a low iron diet. Now, here's why it's so important. If you have chronic low iron with significant anemia in a child, here's why it is so important, because it is highly correlated with delayed brain growth and development. All right? Bottom line, these kids are going to be stupider than not.
Well,
if you don't pick it up.
Their IQs are not going to be as high.
Exactly. All right. And so, it's something that we as a society, every kid gets, before he gets the first school physical, before he goes to school, he'll get his hemoglobin checked. And that's the reason why. Because we don't want to miss a kid that's anemic who is going to have stunted brain development and is going to follow him all through the rest of his life.
Okay, but Shouldn't parents know this?
No.
That they should make sure that their child's getting enough iron?
Well, sure. That sounds great. But in reality, Terry, whether we like it or not, kids don't like high iron foods. All right?
Couldn't you give them an iron supplement?
I would suggest that if they're concerned, they have their doctor check it.
Okay.
And it's a simple test. Because there's issues with giving... iron is safe, all right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a few illnesses you cannot give iron with, and there's some issues. Just have the doctor. They can do it in the office. It's cheap. It's fast. It's not a big deal.
Right.
And it doesn't cost very much.
And it's just checking the hemoglobin?
Yes, checking the hemoglobin, all right? They don't have and if a hemoglobin is low, the most common cause is low iron, all right, in this age group, all right? The second thing is that teens, just as they go through their growth spurt, typically have low iron. Listen, Terry, this is amazing.
Well, this makes a lot of sense because their brains do kind of shrink at that point.
Oh, my gosh. I got to put my foot in my mouth if I'm not careful here. But here's what happens, Terry. These kids go through, they've been doing pretty good, all right? And then they start going through this growth spurt, and this gets phenomenal growth. Bottom line, what happens is that they usually outstrip their iron intake because they're growing so fast. What happens? Their brain starts not developing as fast.
There you go.
Now, I'm not sure that, I was going to say teenagers are stupid.
No.
I don't quite mean that way. But it just adds that added problem, all right? So kids, especially if you get a kid, if I see a teenager, and there's lots of issues with teens, all right? Lots of issues. But one of the things we as doctors do when the kids are tired or fatigued or depressed or not doing well, all right, we check their blood count. and see if they're anemic. All right, that's standard. Every doctor will do that. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
All right. And we as doctors, we don't miss that very often. All right. I mean, that's those kind of kids. That sounds bad, but those patients are really if they go to the doctor. The doctor doesn't miss that kind of stuff.
Just supplement it with some iron or get some meat, red meat.
It's easy to treat. All right, yeah.
Lettuce.
Iron, yeah. Supplements, red meat, liver, things like that.
Okay.
All right. Okay, let's talk next about another type of anemia that is an issue.
Oh. Dwan's telling us we're way
past. We're coming back. Listen, I'm sorry. I get too
excited. That's right. I was very engaged, too. So thank you, Dwan. Appreciate that. We're going to be right back. We're talking with Dr. Jan Mensink from the practice about anemia, and we're learning a lot of things that people probably are going, I didn't know that, because I didn't know that.
Yeah. A lot of neat things coming up, by the way.
We'll be back.
AM 1560 and FM 97.7 KNZR. News, weather, and the best local news team. We will rock you. KNZR. And now, here's Terry Maxwell.
Goodbye, little darling, we're parting. Parting don't always mean goodbye. Although we have to part, you're always in my heart. Goodbye, little darling, goodbye.
Yeah, I went all the way back to figure out what Johnny Cash might have sung on Shindig. And this would have been one of them. Goodbye, little darling, goodbye. I think it would have been very appropriate. Now, I'd like to know more about where the song came from, but I don't think Johnny's around to be able to tell me that.
But we have a memorial of him. I don't know if that's the right word to say, but the restaurant.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's great for Kern County.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is. We're talking to Dr. Jan Mensink from the practice, and we are covering anemia. Now, we just talked about teens. Is there another age group that we should talk about?
There's a group of people that are very important about not to forget, all right? And these people are not missed, really, but the people with chronic renal failure, all right? They often have anemias. All right, and these people are not missed, all right, because they end up going on to seeing the kidney doctors on dialysis. The kidney doctors are very good. They do this kind of stuff. They don't miss this kind of thing. But these patients often have chronic anemias, all right?
Blood spilling into the urine?
No. We're going to talk later about anemia of chronic disease.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
Maybe we'll have to do it Monday, but we'll see if we get time. But there's such a thing as anemia of chronic disease. And bottom line, we don't know why, all right? There's a few rare inherited diseases. Number two, sometimes... there's something called erythropoietin that makes our blood, our body make red cells in the marrow, bone marrow. For whatever reason, it doesn't work properly.
And
in fact, some of these patients will get shots of erythropoietin to cure their anemia. All mm-hmm. right, mm-hmm. But these patients are not missed, Terry.
Right.
All right. By and large, these are rarely missed. They're seen by the.
They get a CBC every time they see the doctor.
They're
seen by the doctor three or four times a year.
They're not missed kind of thing. All right.
Right.
Now, the next thing I thought we'd do is just talk about where iron comes from. All right.
That's a good thing because I said lettuce and you looked at me like I had three eyes.
More important than that is, or after that, we're going to talk about what common foods hinder iron uptake.
Okay.
That's probably
even more important.
Even more important, all right? But first of all, red meat. Red meat and liver and things like that, all right? That's probably the most important. There is iron in plants, all right? But it depends on the amount of iron and whether a lot of plants who are grown, it's sort of like the vitamin D3 issues in plants. If it's grown on soil that has very little iron in it, it won't be,
won't have as
much iron. All
right, right.
You know, it's, I go back to the saying, all my patients in Tehachapi that have their own gardens, you know,
yeah.
they never have vitamin D3 deficiencies because there's lots of D3 in the soil. All
right, right, right.
But if you're my patient that's buying his stuff at Stater Brothers, not Stater, I was going to think Stater Brothers, but
Food Max?
Food Max or whatever, all right.
Albertsons.
Yeah, Albert. All these places, Avon's, all this kind of stuff. There's more chance that, you know, it's in, these vegetables and things like that are grown on soils where there's very little D3.
Are there any vegetables that are maybe more concentrated with iron, like beets?
You know what? You're asking me something I don't know.
Okay.
I didn't look
that. I was under the impression that beets had, had a pretty good amount of iron and spinach and things like that.
Yeah. The green, heavy green leafy vegetables are a little bit better, like spinach, things like that, and kale, all right? The other thing that's important, and there's a group of patients that have to be extra careful with this. Mm-hmm. People who have Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis, or have had a gastric bypass. Or there are, like I had a patient last week that had an iliac, he has Crohn's, he had a, what's called an iliectomy, but his
part of his small intestine
was taken out.
Right.
All right.
Right.
All that group of patients, Crohn's, ulcerative colitis, and bariatric surgery, these patients all have absorption issues, all right? And they are difficult to treat. In fact, I had a patient probably a year ago that we ended up giving her Z-Trax. That doesn't mean much. We literally gave her tracks of iron in her arm. We call them Z-Trax, but injectable subcutaneous iron because she couldn't absorb it from her gut.
Wow.
Wow. Oh my gosh! Yeah. All right,
that's got to be.
It's painful.
Once in a blue moon, you see somebody.
This is rare.
That has to
all right,
that.
But there's patients that literally have these problems. Okay, but the probably for those out there is if you had bariatric surgery or part of your a stapling surgery, you've had a banding, you've had I don't care what, you know, ulcerative colitis, Crohn's surgery. These patients are at. These are the higher risk, all right? These are the ones that need to have, they should be not treating themselves. They should be seeing a doctor and be under a doctor's care all the time kind of thing. Just watching this stuff because I have so many patients I've seen and they've had their bariatric surgery. They lost their weight, but they're not doing well. And they
just still extremely tired.
They're not doing well. And what's happened is their absorption issue, there's major absorption issues, all right?
Got it.
Now let's go over the foods. What do you want to avoid? What hinders iron uptake, okay? Because this is probably more important than the iron issues, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Number one is dairy products. People don't... This is shocking to most people. What do we give kids? Lots of dairy, right? And then
and
these
that's
kids...
That might be one of the reasons they don't have much hemoglobin.
They don't have much iron, all right?
Yeah, yeah.
This is kind of shocking to people, but dairy products inhibit iron uptake, all right? Calcium-rich foods... inhibit iron uptake.
Which would be dairy.
All right? All right. Calcium supplements. How many people are out there taking calcium? Do you follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. A lot.
Yeah, a lot. And years ago, we used to, I hate to say this, but, you know, years ago, we used to tell all the, you know, you near menopause, you better take a calcium supplement for the women so they don't get osteoporosis.
Right.
That was wrong. In fact, we now know that there's, providing you don't have an absorption issue. Some people with absorption issues have to do that. But if you don't have an absorption issue, calcium actually interferes with some issues. It's better off, you don't need calcium. Now, if you're starving, but if eating a normal diet, you get enough calcium. You don't need to worry about that. And calcium is probably doing for many people more harm than good. All right? Calcium supplements half the women out there over age 55 are taking calcium supplements. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, and just think that is changing your iron absorption. All right. And to me, this is shocking, but people don't have a clue. All right. They just don't understand.
And they really don't need the calcium anyway, because as you said, if they've got a good diet, they're getting plenty of calcium. And there are other ways to treat the bone issue.
No, it's a different story if you're starving in Biafra or someplace else, you know, all these other things. Now, that's a totally different. Or people that have short gut syndrome, that people have had bypasses or malabsorption. That's a different story.
Right.
We're talking about normal people here without those kind of issues. All right. Antacids. We don't think of this, Terry, but antacids.
Would bind iron also, yeah.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. People take... antacids, you know, you buy them over the counter, all right? I see people who are living on antacids.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. All right? And we don't think of that. is causing anemia down the road. All right? Two other things that are very common. Coffee and tea. Who would have known? But we have
coffee and tea cause that?
Yes. Coffee and tea. Now, I don't know the reasons why in the Mexican.
I was going to say, it would be interesting to see chemically why that is.
But we have research papers showing that coffee and tea inhibit iron absorption.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's out there drinking, has a cup of coffee. Now, I don't think one cup of coffee, Terry, is an issue.
Right.
But it's the issue of the people that come in and are drinking 5, 10,
a whole pot
every day. That's where we're getting in trouble. It's not the guy that has a cup of coffee in the morning.
Okay, everybody, we got to take a break. We'll get back into what can inhibit your absorption of iron. Or was that the last two that you?
Yeah, I wanted to go really quickly, Terry. Maybe the last little bit. We're going to talk about B12 and folic acid absorption because it has quite a bit to do with what we're talking about.
Excellent. We'll be right back. This is the Terry Maxwell Show. We're talking to Dr. Jan Mensing from The Practice.
There's only one on AM 1560 and FM 97.7, KNZR.
Had a friend named Ramblin' Bob, who used to steal, gamble, and rob. He thought he was the smartest guy in town. But I found out last Monday that Bob got locked up Sunday. They've got him in the jailhouse way downtown. He's in the jailhouse now.
That's Jimmy Rogers.
He's in the jailhouse now.
Jimmy Rogers.
I told him once or twice.
Not the one you're thinking of.
To quit playing cards and shooting.
This is in the jailhouse now. That's where we're all going to be if we don't get back to Dr. Mensink and talking about anemia. Okay, we finished up on what can... can slow the absorption or affect the absorption of iron.
The last thing I wanted to
folic just mention, acid and
well, here's the deal. Iron deficiency anemia, we've talked about, okay?
Right.
But here's the hard part, Terry. Many of these patients not only have iron deficiency anemia, they'll often have other anemias also, like B12 absorption issues. They're going to have problems with folic acid anemias. What we went on last Monday, what was the most common cause? Alcohol, right?
Right.
Alcohol use, all right? Well, alcohol, if people have alcohol anemias, they'll lose blood, all right? We've talked about that. That's number two, they'll often have B12 and folic acid absorption issues. So what happens is these people may also have need folic acid, B12, all these other, in addition to iron, and it can be hard to figure out, all right?
Well, you got to keep in mind, alcohol is a poison to the body.
To a certain extent, yes.
So it having those side effects doesn't surprise me.
So probably what are good for folic acid? All right, green leafy vegetables, fruits, dried beans and peas and things like that. The other thing that is important that people miss, all right, with B12 absorption, and this is very common, Terry, we've mentioned this before on the show, B12 is not absorbed through the GI tract very well. All right?
Mm-hmm.
It is absorbed sublingual or by shot.
All right?
And that sublingual means under your tongue. You absorb the capsule. That's absorbed very, very well. Just by the way, a sublingual capsule under your tongue of a B12 is just as good absorption as me giving you a shot. Oh, my gosh. All right?
No, that's great.
That's amazing. All right?
Well, but you've got to keep it underneath your tongue, though.
Yes. You can't swallow it.
Right.
You have to let it dissolve in your tongue.
Under the tongue, hopefully, but inside your oral cavity.
The oral mucosa has to absorb it. All right? So the issue with this, with these patients is that it is very easy for them to think, well, I need iron and I don't need these other things, or forget about these other things.
Right.
So the most important thing for these patients, they should see a doctor and check these things out, all right? That probably, especially if they drink a lot, all right? Because they can be difficult causes, okay? And one of the most common causes we mentioned last Monday is alcohol, all right?
Now, complicating them. And we talked about, boy, that'd be a great way to determine whether somebody's lying to you about their alcohol absorption or usage.
We mentioned that. Check the MCV, mucocerebral volume, because they're often elevated. All right. Any other questions that we have to address?
At this point, no. I think we'll go ahead and take another break.
Okay.
Monday
we'll probably finish.
Okay.
A little bit of things. Probably the most important thing to leave for people, Terry, this is, it sounds so simple.
Mm-hmm.
It can be complex. And it's not those, Terry, that are in trouble, all right, and lose it fast and all that. We don't miss those. Where we get in trouble is a person who has a long-term chronic anemia and doesn't realize it.
So people should maybe look back into their past and say, well, gosh, you know, in the last 3 years, I have really slowed down. I'm taking naps all the time. I'm really, really...
All those kind of things.
I don't feel like I'm myself.
Yeah. Go see your doctor.
Is it a three-year period, or are we talking longer?
It can be longer.
Okay.
Yeah. But typically, people that get in trouble, women with heavy menses, people who have ulcers, people who have injuries, people who have surgeries, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And what people don't realize, if you had a surgery, okay, and before you go to OR, we check your hemoglobin, all right? And
right.
See what it is. That's part of pre-op clearance, all right? You can lose 2 or 3 units of blood and not be low enough, all right, to need a transfusion, all right? And you get discharged from the hospital, all right, and you go around. But now you're on the low side.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then you get more stress from your surgery. Whatever, things go bad, that can be the start of anemia giving you troubles down the road.
Got it.
All right.
Got it. Thank you, Dr. Mensing.
All right.
All right. When we'll be back on, you'll be back next Monday to continue and hopefully finish up on anemias.
Yeah, it's been interesting.
See, everybody was thinking anemias. Is that a big enough subject? It certainly is. We're proving it. Okay, everybody, we'll be right back. This is the Terry Maxwell Show here on KNZR.
KNZR.com, KNZR on Twitter, KNZR on Facebook, and KNZR on your radio at AM 1560 and FM 97.7. KNZR.
I loved you all the summer through. I thought I'd found my dream in you. For me, that was yesterday, and yesterday's gone.
Yeah, when you get that phone call from that old girlfriend, hey, yesterday's gone. Thank goodness.
Lose my number.
Yeah, the phone call everybody fears. It's who? What are you calling me for? You didn't take a big enough bite the first time? Let me go. Yeah, it's, hey, yesterday's gone. The other song is a summer song. Very similar beat and everything to it. Actually, it's kind of we walked along the beach and now it's gone. We're done. These guys obviously had a lot of women walk out on them. This is Chad and Jeremy. We're going to be back. Brian Colbrick's already in the room, and he will be ready to dive into the subject of mortgages and the real estate market. Don't go away.